This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Hello?
Customer service, how may I help you?
I lost an iPad on the flight, and I
iPad?
Yes, an iPad is an
color,
iPad.
What did it look like?
It was a space gray.
Oh, okay.
I had my name on the back.
Okay, yeah. iPad. Okay,
I'm really
trying
to find
it. I think we're going to look for it.
Okay.
What was the passcode to the iPad?
Oh, the passcode?
Yeah, the passcode. So, you know, in case we find it, we make sure that it's yours, and I'll call you.
Okay, it was 1, 2, 3.
Okay, 1, 2, 3. Okay, thank you. We'll call you back if we find it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You got robbed!
Oh, shit.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon. Crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo. My cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is In the Conversation. This is Damian Lemon, the host, and on my right-hand side, I got...
El Coronel, El Capitan, Vladimir Camaño.
Woo! Coming from the West Side Broom Closet Studios. And on my left-hand side, I got...
You got the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad, out here. Right here in New York City.
Ah! You fucking trudged through all this snow.
Winter strikes back.
Yeah. I guess winter was like, oh, they talking shit about me?
I'm canceled?
On a podcast?
I'm canceled? Fuck out of here.
What? That shit's still regular. It wasn't no real snowstorm.
It was more marketing than anything. What they called her? Superstorm Stella.
Stella.
Yeah, I guess they were like, the winter got its groove back or some shit.
I mean, the weather's all about exaggeration. It's all about scaring you. Because these weather people, this is when they get playing time. They put 3-4 weathermen on one news broadcast where it's a big storm. This shit they don't get that type of playing time. So they gotta scare you. They gotta
send everybody to the store.
You know?
Get them groceries.
Gonna be brutal.
Go to Home Depot. Stock up.
Gonna be brutal. Pistol whip
you. How's the subway getting in?
Fuck your lady.
What'd you say?
I said, how's the subway getting in?
It's regular.
Slower than typical. Yeah. And the stairs are set up for you to bust your ass and wind up on some type of Snapchat.
Yeah, but it wasn't crowded. That was the best part.
Yeah, that's true.
Got a good comfortable seat without having to worry about thinking if I got to get up for the old lady or something. Just chilled on, rolled on through. You know, that's nervous. You know what I'm saying? You get a good seat coming out of Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
Then you get all the way to goddamn 14th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And some old pregnant lady stand in front of you.
Uh-huh.
You got to get on up.
You got to make it on up. Well, you made it to 14th.
I know, but it's like you're so comfortable. You're halfway asleep at this point. You're in a zone. You got your music going. Like,
old and pregnant, huh?
Nah, I mean,
you put the combo on it.
Yeah, you know, that it was a composite, you know what I mean, of the people you had to get up for.
Let me ask you this. Have you had this type of standoff? You got a good-ass seat, you're chilling, you're damn near falling asleep, and then a homeless cat comes sit right next to you smelling like tear gas.
That never happened to me.
Oh!
That one has never happened. That's a train nightmare.
That's happened to me. And it's a standoff where you like, I'm tired as fuck.
I'm going to just eat this funk.
Yeah, man. It's just going to have to be what it's going to have to be. I'm going to have to hold my breath, man. I got 14 more stops.
Nah, that one has never happened.
You ever had that, Vlad?
You know, I'm a bit of a... I try not to sleep on the subway. You know what I mean? I try to stay alert.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had that situation. If I see it coming, I do my best to re-strategize my position.
Yeah. It took me a while to change seats when that would happen, because I used to feel like it was foul. Like, you know, somebody that just funky, musty. Because it takes a second when you step in the car. Sometimes you step in the car, you're like, yo, why isn't nobody on this car?
Oh, yeah, that was...
And then you soon discover, as soon as them doors close, and it's like, oh, shit. Yeah. I used to, you know, for a while
You eat it?
I would eat it for, like, a couple stops. I try to make it look organic, like I'm getting off at this stop. Now, I don't give a fuck. Nah, I'm like, ah.
zip, zip to the next car.
Oh, man. Anyway.
That's what we dealing with out here in New York City. What's the weather out there where you at, Vlad? What's it looking like?
Right now, it is a nice, I'll tell you right now, it's 82 degrees.
That's not bad.
And it's looking good, man. I got my windows open, looking outside of my patio. I got my new coffee machine.
Okay.
And what else is going on, man? I just saw the trailer for Dave Chappelle's Netflix. Comedy album coming out next week, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah, it's gonna
be good. Do they have a new trailer? The one I saw was kind of vague.
Yeah, it's a new.
It's a new trailer.
Okay, I haven't seen a new one yet.
And they show him doing bits, and apparently, you know, it's two separate specials. One was shot in 2015. One was shot in 2016.
Right.
Damn.
One was shot in Los Angeles. The other one was shot in Austin. So.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of us in the comedy community are just like looking forward to this night, man. This is like, you know, I'm gonna make sure that night is done right.
Yeah, nah, it's gonna be a nice little situation.
Chappelle getting money.
I had predicted him to drop three at one time. That was my prediction because I'd heard he already got three in the can.
Oh wow!
And this was before, I think, even before the Netflix deal went through. I think I was chopping it up with either Monroe or Derek Gaines, who's at the Stand, and we was just talking our shit. Those are comics.
Okay,
very funny comedians.
Cool.
And we was chopping it up at the Stand, and we was just talking about, you know, how Chappelle move, how he does things on a, like, it's always, there's always something different, you know, like he's always, I like to say he's in the books. He's now having fun with his chapter. You know, this dude, he's become like a comedy Pied Piper. He's doing little, like little fucking shows or what do you call them shits? Like jam sessions in the middle of the woods and all types of little things. And he's throwing burlesque parties and wild shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's working with my man. What's my man's name? Corey Smith, who used to be at Blacksmith. So they like to do a lot of creative shit. And I had said, just talking shit, I was like, I bet you this motherfucker dropped all three, because I heard he did 3 hours already. I bet you he dropped all his hours on one fucking day. And then, like, 2 days later, he came out with the, they're going to drop two. I mean, that, you know.
Save one for later.
Save one for later. But that's just, that's some different shit.
No doubt.
You know? And I'm, like you said, Vlad, I'm excited about it.
What's the day of drop?
The 21st. That's
21st.
My 21st birthday, yeah.
March 21st. All right, put that one down.
Yeah. It should be interesting to see two totally different hours. Could be bananas. That could be bananas.
And you know, separated by a year too, which is the crazy part. So,
yeah, it should be interesting. It should be interesting.
He went back, and got it all back.
Yeah. He went, you know, Chappelle back. He called it
all that money back.
So I'm excited about that big time. And then who else just dropped the special? What's his name? Jim Norton also dropped the special too, I think.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I'm trying to see that one too. And then Amy Schumer dropped this last week. I haven't seen either of those two, but you know, I'm gonna check them out.
Mm. Heard you was down there in my town.
I was in Miami.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, you called it Montana?
My town.
Oh,
my
I thought
town.
That was Miami for my town. Oh, okay, cool.
Go ahead.
Man, I was in Miami. I got the last minute call from the Major League Baseball Association. They hit me up because apparently the USA versus the Dominican game at the World Baseball Classic is the most coveted game of the series.
Mm-hmm.
Now let me give you some statistics to back that up. So the game took place at Marlins Park in Miami.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which holds, I think, 38,000 seated and 40,000 with some standing room.
Damn.
And this
wait,
is the
wait,
first
wait,
time.
Wait. Hold on. 30,000 seated,
40,000.
38,000. Oh, okay. I'm about to say 10,000 motherfuckers just standing there.
No, no, no.
Thirsty. Oh, okay. All right.
38,000 seated and up to, I think, up to 40,000 with standing room.
All right. So 2,000 people just standing
and, room. And apparently they haven't sold that stadium out to this capacity ever, from what I understand. When I was talking to the MLB rep, and it was sold to complete capacity when I got there.
Right.
And I'm talking, dude, I've never seen, I've been to a couple baseball games, but it felt like a soccer event.
Really?
It's like Dominican homecoming?
Yeah, it felt like a soccer event. Dominican homecoming, dude, we were there in full, you know, full
regalia.
Platano Power t-shirts. We had drums. We had guiras, which is a Dominican instrument where you kind of scale it with a
So this one, your old, like this a, one, your regular old run of the mill baseball game.
Nah, hot man. Hot dogs and nah, popcorn. Dude. Nah, man. This was an official. I put some videos up on my Instagram, and they're gonna put the video out this week. And I'll put it on the the Facebook page. They're gonna put a video of me kind of capturing the event. Mm-hmm. And it was pandemonium, dude. Like, you know, the Dominicans definitely know how to celebrate in their very own unique way. Mm-hmm. And there were a few. There were a few people there for the USA team as well. There were a few people for
just
the
a couple.
The American side. They were being very respectful.
It was
outnumbered. It'll be embarrassing because they saw the numbers in that stadium, dog. They saw the numbers.
Who won?
The Dominican team won.
You know, was it a blowout? I mean,
no. So we were down. We were down 5-3, right? And we were down 5-3. Eighth inning, we hit back to back home runs.
Ooh. Any celebs?
I tell you, the crowd.
Anybody we know? Like who smacked them home runs? Who the people?
Nah, you wouldn't know them. If you're not like super into baseball, you wouldn't know.
Shout them out anyway.
I'm taking a turn of celebrities that were there. The ex Dominican president was there.
Oh, okay.
Which one? What's his name?
Hipólito Mejía.
Mm-hmm. That's your boy?
I don't remember the dude's name.
I know, right?
I met one of them, but I think I found out later that he wasn't well liked. So I forgot his name.
Oh. Damn.
You know, you don't want to be on the wrong side of that shit. Plus they, you know what I'm saying? They getting rid of black people in Dominican Republic. You ain't wanna be too close to that motherfucker. Go ahead though.
He's a complicated character to say the least, which
might be that guy.
Says correctly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Damn.
He was cool when I was with him, but you know what I'm saying? You know, that's, they always cool in the office.
Yeah.
So it was popping though. You had a good time out there.
It was insane, dude. I just never had that much energy from my. I never experienced so much energy from my people in one contained atmosphere.
Right. Right.
It was just, and you'll see the video, man. The videos. If they put in the edit everything that I caught in that stadium, it's gonna be a hell of a clip.
So you were just out there talking to the people.
I was talking to the people, man. I was dancing with them. I was hanging out with them, asking questions. I was, you know, some of the bands were out there, some of the famous Dominican bands. You know, it was honored to be there, man.
Sound like you was living life.
I was living life. I was in Miami. I stayed at a Fly Hotel. I stayed at the JW Marriott Marquis.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, you got a TV in the mirror of the bathroom.
It was Dominican power that weekend.
You know, I was live and uncut, man. You know what I mean? I was in there.
It was Caliocho too at the same time, right?
Uh-oh. Well, I don't know actually.
This weekend? Were you there this weekend?
I was there March. I was there Saturday this weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Caliocho this weekend.
Are you serious?
Yeah. What is that? I know what it means, but what does that mean?
That's a big Cuban festival in Miami on 8th Street.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like, you know, they have a lot of performances. Mm-hmm. It's just a big street festival that goes down every year.
Oh, all right.
You know what I'm saying? It used to be popping in. You know, we used to go there just, you know what I'm saying? They might have, what they would do is, it'll be all like Spanish acts. Like back in the day, it was like, be like Menudo and shit like that.
Right.
But then they'll throw one hip hop person that cross over kind of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? We'll go out there for that one act. But it used to be crazy.
Who's some of them acts that was that one act?
Like, probably like Two Live Crew. Okay. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mugs that kind of cross over on both sides. Fat Joe's okay. Done Caliocho. You know what I mean? It's always, you know what I mean? Big Pun.
Right.
I read a story the other day where somebody was talking about he was out with his family at Caliocho and somebody had on a Pun shirt. And the kid was like, yo, dad, he's a legend. And it was like a kid talking to a grown up, like a kid who wasn't around for Pun.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, he's a legend, pointing at the big Pun shirt. I just read that story a couple weeks ago. Man.
Some of these dead rappers are like, you know, they are legends. They're iconic. And it's kind of like, for myself, like, I'm sure there are kids that look at Biggie like I look at Bob Marley.
Well, you know what I mean? They just raised the banner in the Barclays for Biggie the other day.
I saw it.
Like Biggie Day at the Barclays. Raised the banner.
What? Well, and then, you know, and then Damien and I were talking about Gerard Carmichael's joke. Gerard just put a special out on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
And one of Gerard's jokes was, what was it, D, that he knows Jay-Z versus more than Dr. King's?
He says Jay-Z means more to his life than Dr. King. He said, you know,
yeah.
He said, I know all the Jay-Z verses. I only know four bars of the Dr. King speech, which was funny. I thought that was a funny ass joint. But
what you was about to say?
Now, I'm just saying, like, how some of these people become, they're so iconic. Like, Bob Marley was pretty much dead throughout my life.
Your whole life.
You know what I mean? But through all of the nostalgia, through all of the marketing, through all, like, how they've protected his legacy and promoted his legacy, he is, it's the icon. The fact that he's an icon isn't even lost on me. Like, it makes you go and listen to his music and study him like one of the greats. He's always been presented as one of the greats.
And his, and his shit don't never play out. It's just,
nah, that's pretty cool.
You know what I mean?
It's cool as fuck, actually. But, you know, it's certain
classics.
Yeah, certain people that, you know, it's interesting. You know, anyway. What else is going on with y'all, man?
Shit, man, I was out in these streets, man, all last week. I was in Queens.
Yeah.
Like I spent like 24 hours with a rapper in Queens with
which one? Who?
It's Cat F1 Joe. And you know, he's relative, I mean, he's new as F1 Joe. He's been around for a while. And I didn't know who he was before I got the job.
Okay.
And but you know, I followed him. I spent some time, you know what I'm saying, with him and his crew out in Queens. We did, you know, the whole Queens, you know, all of those, you know, all of the,
you know, hole in the walls and shit.
Went to, you know, Gabby's Pizza and, you know what I'm saying, went and got haircuts at Mr. Sneed's and was in, you know, South Jamaica Queens projects, you know what I'm saying?
Coliseum?
40p, 70p, you know what I'm saying?
All took of the whole tourism, Sherpa.
We was in the Coliseum getting buying Cuban links. I wasn't, but I was filming, you know what I'm saying, the purchasing of Cuban links.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So
stakes is high.
But you know what I'm saying?
But got that footage.
But when we got to, you know, his grandma's crib, you know what I'm saying? He went to go see his grandma. You know what I'm saying?
Neutralize all of that.
No. She was gangster. She was harder than everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, word.
But, you know what I'm saying? His grandma, him and Waka Flocka got the same grandma. They cousins.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So Deb Antony is his aunt. Okay. And then, you know, his uncle was in Supreme Team. And, you know what I'm saying? Bibby, who worked at Def Jam, is his uncle.
Okay.
So it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's all his legacy right here. You know what I'm saying? So he not really bigging none of that up.
Right.
But, you know what I'm saying, as I'm following him, you know, you could see that he got a lot of that to live up to.
It's a lineage.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, shit, his grandma harder than most.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know.
He like a lion.
Yeah, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like he gotta fucking pull it through. So, I think that's what's fueling him. You know what I'm saying? He signed to Mike Will.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so, you know.
How'd that happen?
What you mean? Actually, again, he was
through Waka.
No, not through Waka, but he came up with these cats. So he actually went to high school in Georgia.
Oh, all right. So he was down south for a bit. I'm just saying because
I guess he got sent to some boarding school down there. And then when he graduated, he was out there chilling first, and then Waka started blowing up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he was with you know, his aunt was managing Gucci. So he was like driving the trucks city to city, you know what I'm saying? Like, so he been on the road with these cats for all these years. So, you know, she managed Nicki when she was first coming. So all that, he was around all that. He got songs on her first mixtape. And
has he always been F1 Joe?
Nah, he was Young Joey or some shit like that before.
Uh-huh.
So he's on, he said he was on Nicki's first mixtape.
Uh-huh.
So he's been around.
Uh-huh.
It's like, it's kind of like one of them stories of the cat who been around, now they taking their shot.
Like a French Montana tale?
Like a French Montana, you know what I'm saying, like a Two Chainz almost.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I paid attention, I see what works, what didn't work, now it's like, let's go all out.
Right, you linked all up, you know what I'm saying, you know all the people, you know what I mean? So when Mike Will was just coming up at the time, when he was down there running with him, so they was coming up together, so they always been cool.
How's the music?
The music is, actually the music is good, you know what I'm saying? They got a single called No Beers, which is, you know, I mean, it's popping, I see good reviews, but it ain't my joint.
No beards or no beers?
No beers. So it's like, you know what I'm saying, bring the bottles, but don't bring no beers. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
Rather discriminatory.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
We like beers in the studio.
No doubt, but you know. I told him, I was like, hey, man, you probably ain't going to make it on the Made in Budweiser, Made in America.
Anheuser-Busch beef.
You ain't going to make it on some of these festivals.
Made in America.
You know what I mean? But he got some other joints. I mean, he got some joints that he play in studio. They just dropped this joint, I'm From Queens, while I was with him. They actually was dropping it when I was with him.
Okay.
Which is a hard, kind of like a, you know what I'm saying, in the vein of an old 50 Cent.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Type of Queens.
Like a borough anthem.
Homage, yeah.
All right.
It's dope. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we crewed up, man. Shout out to CJ who put us on to the gig. And then Laura came through and did all the interviews for me.
Okay.
Laura Checkaway.
All right.
And so that was a good connect because, you know, Laura wrote the Prodigy book.
And she wrote the Angie Martinez book.
And she wrote the Angie Martinez book.
I didn't realize that.
But shout Prodigy from Queens. So, you know, we were in the studio, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to, you know, let that be kind of known.
Right.
And then he was like, yo.
Official.
I want to put Prodigy on this record.
Uh-oh.
And then he goes, you know how Laura is. Laura like, I'm sure he would do it.
Oh, wow. All right.
She put them things together.
And it happened?
I don't know if it happened, but she plugged them together.
Shit.
We gonna see.
That's what's up.
So that, you know, it's cool, man. You know what I'm saying? Out there, you know. I haven't been like deep in the hood for that amount of time.
In a minute.
In a long time.
Yeah.
I realized. And I realized that it takes a lot of energy to be in the hood. And I haven't been around that many niggas.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? At one time.
Right.
In a long ass time. Like,
it's exhausting.
Like, it's
all
niggas.
Right.
It's a lot of handshakes and movements and
my man.
Slick talks and you gotta be on point with
that's
your
100.
Jokes and you know what I'm saying? You gotta be ready for your, you know what I'm saying, your snapbacks when
who
it's
this
time.
Nigga?
You know what I'm saying? You gotta, you know what I mean? It's a lot going on.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's just a lot of testosterone, like that old New York, you know what I mean?
So your name
like,
Ali, huh?
Like that old hip hop before Two Live Crew came with the girls dancing in the videos. It was like Crew Love, you know what I'm saying? Just a whole bunch of dudes.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of it's a lot to manage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of personalities and you know what I'm saying? A lot of, you know what I mean?
A lot of wrangling.
Yeah, a lot of you know.
Yeah, well, you know.
But it was cool though. It was cool.
You had to manage that? Was it somebody to manage all of that?
It was free flowing, but I'm just saying as far as I could shoot whatever. I could go anywhere and shoot. I'm just saying, within your personal energy, like the way I operate, I kind of, you know what I'm saying, I vibe off of energy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this. My question is, in particular, this assignment, because I know sometimes there's various things that you could do. You could do fly on the wall, or sometimes you could say, look, I'm trying to construct something. So at that point, you might have to manage the set.
Right.
What type of shoot was this?
Nah, this is more fly on the wall. I typically do fly on the wall shit.
Okay.
I typically try to find what's there and highlight
right.
what's there. Like
right.
shit that you might not notice on a,
right.
just looking. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I try to find that
the
kind
nuance.
Of shit. The nuance, the details and shit. You know right. what I'm saying? That's the shit I be on. So it was a lot of that. So you know what I'm saying? It was a lot to choose from.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, just as far as the energy is concerned, it was you know what I mean? It's a lot. You know what I'm saying? It was a lot of, you know, everybody's posturing for their own thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody, some people don't want to be shot. Some people want to be shot. You know what I mean? So you managing between that. But I just thought it was interesting that it was so many dudes in this crew.
Right.
I guess F1 stands for Family First.
Oh, okay.
So many dudes in this. And then, you know.
What you think it stood for, Chris? Chris was like,
fair enough.
Fair enough,
yeah.
So Ford, like Formula One.
Chris was like, all right, I see it. Go ahead, keep going.
I see it.
You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, I can't say if they it's definitely gang affiliation. I can't pinpoint, that. You know what I'm saying, which gang or whatever.
Good energy.
You know what I'm saying?
Good energy.
But it was definitely a lot going on, man. So, you know, we was having a good time, man. It was, you know, it's always, but like when you in the hood environment, you always like the characters that have that one personality that kind of jumps out. And there's a couple of those cats, man. You know,
stars.
There's always got the slickest line to say, to tell the stories in a certain kind of way.
Right.
You got the one cat who is fully in full hip-hop regalia.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He got on the biggest Cubans and the goldest shoes. Because
there's cameras on the set.
Collars. I'm like, it was definitely Queens, boy. It was
show up.
Queens like a motherfucker.
Ah, shit.
But that shit was cool, man.
That's what's up, man. That sounds cool. I had a fucking question for you. I can't remember just in that moment. Let's keep talking.
Yeah, man.
Vlad, what's good with you?
What's good with you?
Oh, man. Shit.
Everybody done went. What's good with you?
Oh, is it my turn?
No, I'm here.
I'm chilling, man. I'm just out here living life, B. I'm in, I'm out here living life. What's going on with me, man? I've been out here working out some new material over at the stand this last week. Just bugging out. We coming back with Comedy Knockout, so we about to start.
Oh, season three?
Season 2.5 to 3. You know, this like software updates the way they pick it up. But
working, my man.
We back in the streets, so we about
this
to.
Shit is working.
Yes, it's cool. It's coming back. It's coming back, jumping in the writer's room or whatever, and try to really, we going all out. We're going all out. We're going to have some fun with that shit, so that's coming up. Beyond that, I'm going to be in D.C. this weekend. I'm excited about that. I've never been to D.C. on the, what? I've performed in, have I? I've never headlined in D.C., so I'm excited about that. I like D.C.
Where you at?
I'm at a Comedy Draft House out in D.C. Okay. I'm putting the flyers out in the world. Go to my page. You know, it's out in the world. But what the fuck, man? I'm just out here chilling, man. Just living life. Just, that's it. That's it. Getting ready to get ready. Like, getting geared up for, you about to get real busy in a bit. So I'm getting my mind ready for that. Other than that, what the fuck is going on, man? Let me ask y'all a question.
Okay.
What's your faith in the lost and found?
Ooh, the lost. The
do
lost
you believe
and found?
In the? Do you think that's false hope? Do you believe in it? That's
depending on what the fuck you lost, man.
Man,
because you know what I'm saying, you lose that good shit, boy. You might as well give it up.
Man, I lost an iPad on a flight back from Canada. And I was so distraught that I lost it the whack way. I lost it in the
back
old,
of the seat.
Yeah,
that's the easy way.
That's the rookie mistake. That's you ain't never been in a plane before.
Hey, even if you've been in the plane, that'll get you.
It catch you slipping.
That back of the seat.
Oh, they know it too. They catch you slipping. I bet you there's a motherfucker. There's a back of the seat motherfucker that just come on 5 minutes after everybody depart. And come up.
And come all the way the fuck up, every flight.
So I was sick. I didn't realize it until later on that evening. Something triggered me to be like, oh, yo, where's my bag? And I look in my shit, and immediately I'm like, oh, I know what I remember the moment where I slid it in the back of the seat, like, I'll get right back to that. Never again. So then I call it was Air Canada. I call the fucking airline.
Where you were in New York? Or
I was in New
city?
York. Okay. I was in New York. Touchdown in LaGuardia. I'm on the phone with the Canadians, and I'm so distraught. I'm like, yo, I need to figure it out. It's got etching on the back. It's got my name. You know, my name. my lady boarder put my name in my little company. Beats being broke. All of that shit on there. So it's etched. And in the middle of my duress, the cat was like, well, is it locked by a passcode? I said, yeah. He said, yeah. He said, well, what's the passcode?
Like,
and like a motherfucking idiot, I give this man the passcode. And as soon as I said the last number of the code, I realized I just gave that man my motherfucking iPad, or somebody got my iPad. I was sick. Needless to say, I haven't heard back from them people.
Oh,
since.
You gave him the passcode,
he was like, so if I needed to open, I don't know why the
why
fuck.
Why would he need to open it?
I don't know, man. I was so in the throes of fucking distress.
He's looking at it, waiting for you to say the number. Like he's hitting
he
it.
Been trying. He like 1, 2, 4, 5. Nope. And as soon as I gave it to him, he was like, thank you for that information. We'll be sure to get that back to you. And
that sounds like a.
It was unethical.
Yeah, that sounds like a letter to the motherfucking.
Maybe.
Motherfucking
I
gotta
get
people.
Better about that.
You got to do it, man. Because you got robbed. That's more than just you lost
some
shit.
You got robbed.
I wish I could capture this intensity in a letter.
If you we got could, to.
Well,
you,
help me.
You got to.
Let's figure
I
this
have
out.
I have a partner who works at a major Fortune 500 company in customer service.
Embrace your
office. You know what I'm saying? This is information.
Go ahead.
And he was, and his department at the time, he managed all of the fucking complaints that made it to the this executive level, the CEO or the chief marketing officer or something right. like that.
Go ahead.
And he basically, I had a problem with T-Mobile.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? They tried me on some shit.
Uh-huh.
And I was telling him about it. He was like, yo, you got to write you a letter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You got to, you know, find the email address to the CMO.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's chief marketing officer. He in charge with how the company look.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you could find any of the board members.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Copy them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And write your letter.
Uh-huh.
Man, the motherfuckers was on my motherfucking line within about 10 hours.
Really?
They were, hey.
Email? You wrote the email?
I wrote the email. They was on my line like, hey, this is such and such from the CEO's office.
And you crafted it?
Yeah, I crafted it.
I need to talk to you. Because this, see, my sister's good at the good craft of the, I don't want to say angry, but the we need to be compensated letter.
Yeah.
There needs to be something done. Yeah. I for whatever reason.
Because there's no reason a motherfucker should be asking you for your passcode. Either he got it or he don't.
Right. So you feel like that.
This needs to be an investigation,
I can claim
man.
To be a victim.
You are a victim. That. You claim, motherfucker, you a victim, man. You gave this motherfucker your motherfucking code and got
me. He got me. I'm sick about it now. We getting away from the whole question.
Wait, what's your question, Vlad?
We getting away from
talk
to me.
My question is, number one, you got the flight number, right? You have that somewhere stored. That's the first thing.
Yeah, I got the flight number. Thank you, brother.
So my question is, when you called, did you speak to the flight attendant? Like, who did you talk to?
No, I talked to Lost and Found. I talked to my man.
Speak to the flight attendant.
Yeah, the flight attendant. She
on the next flight. She out here. She
I'm just curious. So you spoke to Lost and Found.
I spoke to my man.
LaGuardia or is it Air Canada? Is it Air?
Yeah. Say what?
Because I'm trying to figure out who the letter. Does the letter go to LaGuardia or to Air Canada?
The letter goes to corporate. The letter goes to the fucking chief executive officer, chief marketing officer, motherfucker, Air Canada. The motherfucking board members, whoever the motherfucking fuck you can find, that's where it go.
Everybody with an email address.
And the motherfuckers will get back to your motherfucking name.
We got to get that together then. We're going to do that.
You know what I'm saying? You a celebrity.
Oh, man, don't do that. We got to do that. But how you do that?
You don't have to say that, but shit, motherfucker, when they Google your name, they going to Google your name. Because that's another thing he told me. That's another thing he told me.
Make sure your Google game is official.
He was like, motherfuckers, check your social media shit. Uh-huh. At the time, it was the clout shit.
Right.
They search your shit and check your social media and see how much clout you got in the street.
Down. All right.
And that, you know what I'm saying? That gauge is how they going to fucking fuck with you.
He be like, okay.
Okay, this is my
He ain't got no clout. We got him.
Got him.
Nah, man.
But the motherfucker, man.
Let me ask you.
You got to at least shoot your shot, man.
I'm going to shoot the
motherfucker,
shot.
Motherfucker robbed you on. You got to at least come back.
Now you
with
got
something.
Me feeling very upset. Now
yeah,
feel
you
like
supposed
a
to,
Vic.
Man. You felt like a Vic before you got here.
Shit.
That's why you telling this story.
He held up the mirror. Young Clarity Muhammad over here. So
what are friends for?
Back to the question. Do you believe in Lost and Found?
He called it. You got robbed.
I felt horrible. I felt like I was watching one of them, you know, them injury lawyers. You know what I mean? Have you fallen on the job? Have you? Yeah, mm-hmm. I fell into the, in the category.
You know, in Barnes,
exactly.
Injury attorneys.
Yo, man, I don't have too much. Like I said, it depends on what you lost. Now, I used to, on a shoot, I always leave behind the charger. You know what I'm saying? That sounds like some minor shit.
Charger?
Yeah, until you lose one of them motherfuckers.
Yeah.
With the battery on it.
Right.
So they always have that. Every time I go back to the building, this shit. Yeah, because nobody can use it.
You can't use it for nothing else.
Right. But one time I got for it.
Yeah.
And I was sick.
Yeah.
Because the fucking charger cost $300.
Ooh.
The battery cost $300. That's a fucking $600 L.
Now, how do you wind up losing it typically?
Because you shooting, and then you charging one battery while you shooting with the other. You got the shit charging. And then the end of the shoot come, you didn't run out of battery juice. So it's like the battery sitting over on the charger.
And it's like a small thing.
It's not. I mean, it's small. It's not big. It's not small like an iPhone, but it's big. It's sitting on the floor.
Okay.
It's probably like 4 inches by 4 inches.
Okay.
But you know what I'm saying? You packing up your shit. You like, I got my camera. I got my lenses. I got blah, blah, blah. You ain't thinking about that
Step
shit.
Step up out of there.
Till you about to go to your next shoot. Uh-huh. You're like, damn, where my battery? Ah! And then
Typically.
No, typically, you call the building, oh, yeah, yeah, we got this shit. Come get it.
Get this, you know, fucking shit.
I done left that shit all over the place. You know what I'm saying? Restaurants, all kind of places. This shit always show up. But I was in motherfucking old hip-ass Williamsburg and shit.
Of course.
Motherfuckers got me.
Motherfucker needed charger.
He was like, woo!
A lot of vloggers.
You know what I'm saying? All kind of film production motherfuckers. Yeah. They knew exactly what it was.
Thank you, Mr. Muhammad.
I got. I went back, man. Took my email. I'm going to email you. I was so sick.
Speaking about that charger game. Well, what about you, Vlad? What's your hope? Do you have faith in the lost and found?
I do not, man. One time I landed on a flight at JFK.
Mm-hmm.
And I took the Amtrak into Penn Station because my pops going to scoop me up from 34th Street.
Right.
Because he was in Manhattan at the time. He's like, yo, just take the air train to the Long Island Railroad, Long Island Railroad to Penn Station.
Right.
And like an idiot, the damn thing was packed, and I put my suitcase on the top shelf.
Yeah.
And the train was packed, so I had to put my suitcase on the top shelf. I took a nap.
Yeah.
I wake up right on 34th Street.
Mm-hmm.
Dang. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna miss my stop. So I
What did you put up there?
Suitcase.
My suitcase.
And what was in it?
My clippers. I had my Andes T outliner. I had my Apple TV.
Clothes
in there.
Right? Clothes.
What other good shit was
clothes,
in
there? I had my Andes T outliner.
They got your whole suitcase?
Hold on.
Andes T outliner.
Uh-huh.
I had my Andes T outliner. I had my Apple
Andes
TV.
Four times.
Go ahead. You had your what?
Apple TV.
I have my Apple TV.
That's 100. That's 160 already.
Yeah, you got something in there worth not turning the whole shit in. Nah.
So
yeah.
Go ahead. What else? What else you got in there?
Because, well, let me, real quick, the reason I bought
sneakers?
The Apple TV, in case you guys wondering. No. Yeah. No.
Okay.
No. Thank God.
Uh-huh. See, the Apple TV is what got you got.
That's what got me got. The Apple TV. And I had some clothes and some shirts. I had a shirt that I had in there that I had tailor-made.
Mm-hmm.
That was $100 shirt.
Ended up
that
in
shirt,
trash.
That was gone, and I went to Amtrak. Long Island Railroad, Lost and Found, and they was just like,
nah,
they're the worst.
That shit is going back to Queens.
Man, you keep up with your own shit.
Yeah, it's somebody in Far Rockaway.
Because you know what I'm saying. Once they got the Apple TV, it wasn't worth. You know what I'm saying. You can't take it out and then give your shit back. Then you know you got.
Right.
So they had to take your whole shit once.
Collateral
they got,
damage.
You know, they had to just take your whole shit at that point.
You got your Apple TV and your hoodie. It's fucked up, man.
Nigga had the club. Nigga had the club and your Taylor Made shirt and shit.
What's the sad part?
The sad part is that I pretend like I'm over it, but then there's days where like I look at my new suitcase.
You never get over
it. To this
it.
Day, and I'll be like, oh.
Get weepy and shit.
Oh man.
Yeah, because you're right. You took an L, man.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Let's get into this shit. Because I like that you seem to be very good with your consumer relation emails.
Yeah. I mean, I ain't had to do it too often, but you know what I'm saying.
All right.
That bit of knowledge that empowers you too, because you dare motherfucker to try you at that point.
I got some other shit for you. off mic. I got some other shit.
I wish a motherfucker would consumer fucking shame me. Nah, but once you have the knowledge, you know what I'm saying, that you can, it's beyond what a motherfucker say on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That you can get somebody to pay attention to your voice and to your problem.
Right.
You know you could use it.
Let me ask you, are you the person to ask for the manager?
Very rarely. Okay. Very rarely. You know what I'm saying? I'm 0 to 100. It's either gonna be all right or it's gonna be all the way. It's a problem. I'm fucking my wife said I spin around in a circle. When I get highly upset, I spin around in a circle one time.
That's when it's activated.
That's when I'm gone. It's blacked out. It's I ain't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's either we gonna deal with it here or it's all the way out of control.
Right.
So you know, man.
That's what's up.
One thing I do is whenever I need customer service, mm-hmm. I'm quick to get on Twitter.
Yes, I'm weird about that.
I did that before too, but then it comes to a point where you know what I'm saying, once you do it once and then you know what I'm saying, you have to do it again, it's like, damn, am I the consumer complainer on Twitter or do I go just handle this shit myself? Who am I actually talking to? You just trying to publicly shame them?
Because it's the risk of you might get publicly ignored.
Yeah, exactly.
They'd be like, fuck out of here. Yeah. Imagine they tweet you back, fuck out of here.
F-O-H.
Fuck out of here.
Yo, boy, shit, they fucking, they add other motherfuckers. Yo, who your man over here? Your man over here, get the fuck out of here.
With the Jordan face.
Exactly. Yo, if I was the Twitter customer relations and I knew I was quitting, I'd be super petty my last fucking shift. The fuck out of here. Yo, hold on. Your man only got 300. How do you expect? Get the fuck. Nah, I'm tripping.
You know what I'm saying? But it's a trip because, you know what I'm saying? If you the customer service rep, you know what I mean? You don't know what's going on. You trying to catch up and shit.
Right.
I had that little shit with the bank. You know what I'm saying? They fucking with the money. You know what I'm saying? I had no regard for the little rep and shit. I'm like, rep, you ain't making no motherfucking sense right now. Uh-huh. And then this is like a little slight problem. She talking about it's going to take 90 days. I'm like, oh, you wild.
90
you
days?
Out your motherfucking mind.
We got to go over your head.
It was 100. It was at 100. Then I felt bad because, you know what I'm saying, she was just reading off the paper and shit, and she probably wasn't even in them. She probably in India somewhere.
Nah.
I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I need you to be invested.
But, you know what I'm saying?
This is our problem.
This is a motherfucking problem, man. You can't drop a check in the bank, and then they talking about it's going to take 90 days for them to figure out some problem on their behalf because the machine wasn't working.
That's hilarious.
So, you know, it is what it is, man. I try not to go through that, man. But, you know.
I think it was Sebastian Maniscalco, the stand-up comic.
Yeah.
He talked about how every time you call them, they go, hey, you know, you're on a recorded line right now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Sebastian was like, yeah, I'm recording you too.
Exactly. Take this, motherfucker.
He's like, I'm taking notes here too.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah, they be listening to them recorded lines. And I would let them have it too.
Get your courtroom
go
talk
on. Yeah, I got you. This is for your boss and them.
Oh, man. Speaking of recording notes, Vlad, you were talking about something about, what, notepads or something? What were you asking us?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, you know, because everything's changing so fast, you know, and as I think adulthood requires that you keep track of your priorities, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's just the bottom line. If you want to be an adult, you got to keep track of stuff. Payments, you know, family obligations, your calendar, your time, your aspirations, your dreams, you got to keep track. Otherwise, you know,
water intake,
you can't manage it. Right. Can't manage it. So what do y'all use? Are y'all using like a Moleskine? Are y'all using notebook? Are y'all just depending on friends and family to hold you accountable? Like, what is it that y'all do to keep track of your goals and your ideas and your notes?
Well, my ideas and my notes go in a Moleskine. You know what I'm saying?
Is it just one, or you have different?
Man, I got
books?
Volumes. You know what I'm saying? I got volumes. Shit. I was the nigga in 10th grade with the book of plans. That's what my friend like. Oh, so what's gonna happen if you lose your book of plans? I'm like, well, shit,
book of plans.
I write them shits again. Shit. I done lost my book of plans on the back of us in the back of the seat. That's how I knew what you was talking about.
Yeah, it happens.
Hell yeah.
Nigga start his whole life over.
Ah, nigga gonna get all my ideas.
He gonna live the life I was supposed to live.
Motherfucker's
living my life.
Nah, but yeah, I write, with ideas, I have to write them shits with a pen on some paper, you know what I'm saying? And then they stick.
That's when you really believe in them.
You know what I'm saying? I can't even, like, when I saw Drake rapping to that Blackberry and shit, when he had his rap in the Blackberry, I couldn't even fucking relate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what the fuck? Because they don't really stick when I type them in the motherfucker. I could type a bunch of ideas in my notes and all that shit. I forget them shits. But if I write them, them shits is official.
Right. I put my shits, I have Moleskines. I just put them in whatever books I get. You know what I mean? It's not even the Moleskine itself makes you feel like a writer.
It does.
It's just a fucking book.
It's just paper. Like if I don't have a motherfucking $20-something and shit to get a little pack of Moleskine, I get the regular old college rule. You know what I'm saying?
Shit, mead.
I get mead. I don't give a fuck. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? In the struggle years, well, I got a whole volume of struggle year meads.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But they got to be college ruled. I can't fuck with the big lies.
Oh, man. Hilarious.
That shit make you feel slow.
You do feel like you remedially shit with big, thick-ass lines.
Big-ass lies and shit.
I write my shit down. I do put stuff in the notes. The thing about the notes, though, it is funny, like,
don't know if it's because we older or whatever. We grew up before the smartphone, but right. It does feel more, I don't want to say urgent, but it just feels, you feel connected when you can write it out with a pen and the ink is bleeding into the paper. Right. And it, you know,
your brain is moving your hand and your hand is recording shit that your brain is recording. It just feels more, you know,
turning pages. Authentic
and feel more organic.
It feels like back in the day. It feels like a scroll. It feels like real plans.
You know what I'm saying?
Whereas like the notes, you could do so many notes and you'll lose track of the notes.
And it'd then the motherfuckers don't. You could update your phone. And them shits don't even translate.
Oh, mine's translate.
I mean, they do now, but in the previous iterations, you couldn't even carry your notes from the other phone. You had to do a whole nother process.
Right.
I guess what do my you question do? Is too. In these,
what's your question?
In these, well, I got a question. Questions in these notepads you guys have.
Yep.
Because one thing I've noticed that I got to do more of is I got to actually sit down and plan and brainstorm. Like it's one thing to write something out to say, "Hey, do this."
Do it.
But it's another thing to. But I'm saying no. But it's another thing to sit down and take time and say, "Hey, I'm going to flush this out, flush this idea out, flush out the steps to get this thing done." Do you guys do that on digital? Do you journal? Do you just take a notebook out?
I do it all.
I do it all that shit, but you know, depending on the next step in the process. But if you out here on your own, you entrepreneur, and you fucking dictate your work and your eating, you got to, man. You ain't got no motherfucking choice, man. You got to figure it out, flesh it out, and execute that shit. You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't, that shit is nobody to come and tell you what the fuck to do. Nobody's saying, "Hey, man, this is your job today, and you need to do this and do that, or you're gonna get fired." So you got to figure out, okay, what's my fucking day? What's my week? What do I need to fucking happen? You know what I'm saying? And so...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I've been taking time out now. Like, let me look at my calendar. Let me look at my notes. Let me look at what I'm working on.
Yeah.
And let me try to flush it all out so it makes sense, as opposed to just writing a couple things down. You know what I mean?
Because if you don't, life will push you in the way it wants you to. Life will push you in a way that it's just going. You could just go with the rhythm. And that shit might not be what your plan is. And you might find yourself... 6 months later, look up and it's like, damn, how the fuck I get way over here? I'm doing all right. I found myself in that position. Like 2014.
What happened?
We did, man, I had 57 projects, you know what I'm saying, within that year.
Lord.
You know what I'm saying? Wow. That was getting busy. But but all them shits was corporate projects that's, you know what I'm saying, it was like corporate projects. I had no real hand in it. We did them. But I didn't come up with them. I ain't create them. I ain't sell them through. It's just motherfuckers like what we do. Hey, can you do this for us? Yeah, hell yeah. So that shit made me fucking sick. I looked at that shit like, damn, I ain't do nothing that was in my book of plans. Not a motherfucking thing, man. Mm. I did everybody else's work and none of my own. And that shit didn't feel good. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I had to correct that shit. Over the last couple of years, we've been correcting that shit. We keep that shit. We keep that corporate work coming because that shit pay the bills. But you got to keep shooting your own shot and going in the direction that you wrote in your book and that you plan and that you see. Because if you don't do it, you won't get it. You know what I'm saying? You could go and get money, but you might not get it how you motherfucking want to get it.
Hmm. Yeah, and I think that's an important thing, man. Like, you know, just you have to take time out to say, I'm just gonna sit here and plan. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it feels there's a, you know, the culture's like, I gotta grind, I gotta get moving, I gotta make this money.
Mm-hmm.
But a part of grinding and making money is taking quiet time to reflect. And it don't look like a grind. It looks very calm and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
it don't look very hard. There's no rap music playing. It's just you at home maybe watching the news and going, all right, this is my week.
And see, that'd be the difference though, you know what I'm saying? You could grind, you know what I'm saying? But or you could grind in a strategic manner, you know what I mean? And grind don't necessarily mean you're going to achieve the results that you want, you know what I mean?
So in the way that you want them. So, Ali, do you go back to those struggle years books?
I periodically go back to all of the books, you know what I'm saying? I have a routine, you know what I'm saying? I get up in the morning, I write in my book. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's some bullshit or whether it's some real shit, I put some words.
Is it timed? Is it timed or is it pages or?
Nah, it's just whatever comes out, man. It's kind of stream of consciousness. I try to do that shit every morning. I go back. Sometimes something hit me and say, you know what? Go back and to this era. And this one book I go back to frequently. It's the one that when I quit Vibe, I had a series of notes right before I quit that kind of led me to quitting and doing my own thing. And I had these dreams and shit. And it was these three dreams, right? New Year's Eve, you know what I'm saying? January 2nd, and then January 4th, or some shit like that. And in each one of these dreams, and it was weird as fuck, Eazy-E popped up in the dreams.
What?
And it was weird as fuck. Eazy-E just popped up and said some old prophetic shit and then disappeared and shit. And I'm like, why the fuck Eazy-E? You know what I'm saying? I'm not even like
right.
an Eazy-E fan. Like, I like Eazy and NWA, but I wasn't on them like that. But Eazy-E popped up, and somebody said, you know, somebody once told me, you know what I'm saying, you gotta pay attention to the dead when they speak to you. So I call them shit the Eazy-E prophecies. You know what I'm saying?
What Eazy-E had to say?
I mean, it's too drawn out. I can't really go through it right now. But he basically popped up and said, you got to trust yourself. You know what the fuck you thinking.
He said, express yourself.
Nah. The actual quote was, you know what I'm saying? And one of them, he said,
I got AIDS, nigga.
Nah, he said, you know what I'm saying? I never go with the second dream, God's dream being the first.
Oh.
Feel
like an asshole.
Nah. It's just, I know. You don't know. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, this is Eazy-E prophecies, my nigga.
Like, if you don't make a fucking at least a web series called the Eazy-E prophecies, that shit is hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? So don't go at the second dream, God's dream being the first. Ooh. Don't settle for this shit. You at this job and shit. You doing good, but this not what you came to New York for. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So go with your first shit is what the motherfucking message was. And I felt like, you know what I'm saying? Then the last dream ain't had nobody in it. It was just black. Uh-oh. Just darkness. And then just a voice saying, motherfucker, make your move. Don't make me have to put you in a position. I'm like, damn, put me in a position. Mm. So then I figured, okay. I'm
this is Eazy too?
Nah, this was just darkness. This was God. The God.
This is above Eazy.
Yeah, this was
Eazy, I want to speak to your manager.
You know what I'm saying? Let me take Eazy on out the way. And then I knew I had to do what I had to do at that point. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Shit.
So I go back to that one often because that was a powerful journal. You know what I'm saying? So I go back to it a lot.
Eazy does it. You do it Eazy.
I think it's important, man. Like, I've been doing that lately, just kind of planning and looking at stuff. And it's funny because your mind can only revise things when they're out of it, like outside of itself. Does that make sense?
Go ahead.
Like, you have to be able to speak
on
it,
man. Speak on it.
It's like writing a script. Like, you can only see what needs to be changed and reworked for the story until it's out of your head. Like,
yeah, you can't rewrite it if you never wrote it.
Absolutely, man. And it's all a process to rewrite, whether it's budget, whether it's ideas or other things like that, just to figure out what's missing and where things line up.
So shit.
So I've been using this stuff called Evernote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody Evernote sent me some ideas on Evernote. I don't trust that old internet shit. But go ahead.
So Evernote's good for me. You know, I don't put anything private in Evernote.
Right.
Anything private in there. But I have been journaling, and you and I had this conversation like 4 or 5 years ago about that book, The Artist's Way.
Yeah.
And it, you know, similar to what you're talking about, Ali, she recommends getting up and like, what is it, like 3 pages, she says?
Yeah, like morning pages, three, like first 3 pages. First thing, once you wake up in the morning, just write 3 pages, whatever's on your mind. Mm-hmm. And it prompts you, it gets you in the habit of writing, regardless of, and writing outside of self-editing. Because it's like, there's this thing where you like, you sit down to write, and when you sit down to write, there's this idea that what you're going to write is going to be profound. It's going to be the shit that's going to change your life. And oftentimes you don't write it unless you feel that way about it. Right? Well, when you're just doing morning pages, you writing whatever the fuck comes to mind. And I remember when I was doing my morning pages, it was a lot of, yo, I'm going to get this money. Yo, my shit's fucked up. I got a house in court. Like, but it was real life.
Right.
And it was like you venting. Right. But you were venting in a way to where you, like, putting it to paper. And you'd be surprised what you pull out of that shit. Mm-hmm. I pulled out some funny bits out of that shit just because
It's unfiltered thought. Right. It's unfiltered thought. It's before, you know, because oftentimes you could be like, you could be very precious about what you put on the moleskin or what you commit to your word doc. Right. This has to be the best. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just got to write what's on your mind and write your ass, you know, to writing.
For me, like, I got into the zone of doing it because when I used to making beats and shit like that. When I wake up in the morning, when I woke up, it was always a beat in my head. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I got used to being able to listen to myself when I first wake up. Or, like, anytime when your body just wakes up, it was always, like, some type of beat. And I would always hum that shit into a recorder or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. So as time progressed and I wasn't making beats and shit like that, it was still things that were in my head right at that same time. So what I started doing was just writing them shits down. And that's what got me in the zone of doing that shit. And so I just stick to it. And I know, like, you know, in that time in between, you know, sleep and consciousness, it's always some different kind of shit in your head than once the day get going. So I always try to get up and get that down on paper. Mm. So it ain't necessarily 3 pages or whatever, but it's something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But shit, so you out there, you writing films, stories, TV shows?
Just ideas, man. Like, you know, you forget that life is, like, all-encompassing. So I got this other program. It's called OmniFocus.
Mm-hmm.
And it tracks your to-do list. And it's been great, dude. It tracks all your projects, all your, what you got to do, what's missing. You know, it gives you, like, different ways to set it up. And it's just amazing how your mind slips, you know, unless you dedicate time to relook at it and relook at it and relook at it. And it also helps in making decisions because I know what I'm saying no to now. Does that make sense, Ali?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if I get an opportunity or something to comes up, I know what it is that I'm sacrificing to say yes to this other thing.
Right. Because you know what the fuck you want.
Yeah. Exactly. So you're able to say in a rational way, I agree to that. Well, I don't agree to that. Why is that? Because of X.
Right. And that's how you got to be when you're out here in the wild on your own and shit, man. Mm-hmm. You gotta be discriminate. You gotta be very discriminatory about the shit that you want, man. And the shit that is, as opposed to just opportunity, and the opportunity that goes along your path. You know what I mean? So you gotta be very discerning. That's the word I was looking for. Very discerning with that type of shit.
I got a question. I like that's the word I was looking for.
I don't know. You know, people, you know, hit you up online. Nigga, discriminatory. What the fuck kind of word was that?
Fuck was you saying?
Nah, I meant to say discerning.
There you go. Well, let me ask you this. What did you think of the Nicki Minaj response to Remy Ma? Man. Did you hear it?
Yeah, I heard it.
Vlad, did you hear it? I'm sure you didn't, but...
I mean,
you heard it, Vlad?
I did not hear it. I heard
Vlad
it.
Just making sound effects and shit.
I did not.
I heard that Foxy Brown got involved.
Oh, man, we ain't nobody talking about Foxy.
Then I heard it was a Queen Latifah diss. I was like, you know what?
I think the Queen Latifah shit was old.
Queen Latifah dissed who?
Foxy Brown. I think that was some old shit.
Queen Latifah had beef with Foxy Brown.
I think it was old shit. Queen Latifah sounded good, too. She was riding.
Oh, I didn't hear that shit.
Yeah, she was
okay,
riding.
I got to hear that. Oh,
but Nicki, she responded in the way that a pop type of act should respond.
She pulled the Jay-Z.
Yeah, she made a record.
She pulled the Jay-Z.
But I don't even think the record was all that hot.
The record's not that hot. Record's not that hot.
You know.
The bars ain't whack. It's just not 7 minutes. It's not enough bars.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was enough to get everybody up off her ass, get her fans activated, which is what she needed to do.
Right.
It's so sad because, you know what I'm saying, now the beef is not even about the raps no more. I'm reading lines, you know what I'm saying? It's really about, we like her, she's pretty, and you're not. That's really what you know what I'm saying? A lot of these people are saying out here on the internet. Not the real hip-hop heads.
Uh-huh.
But, you know what I'm saying? It's like, well, she'll never look like you, nigga. You know what I mean? You know, so it's kind of like, it's too much of the hot sauce in the mix now.
Hmm.
I'm ready for it to be over.
Ready for
I just want Remy to make a legitimate, you know what I'm saying, hit out here on her own. She got, you know what I'm saying, all the way up. That was a hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I want Remy to make her hit, and you know what I'm saying, let them know that, you know what I'm saying, you ain't gotta look a certain kind of way, and you ain't gotta have, you know, all these types of assets
mm-hmm.
to make good music and make hits. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's all I want out of this shit.
Remy kind of apologized for the diss, though.
Did she?
Yeah, she when? Was like,
how and when?
In an interview, I think it was
in
with Essence.
In an email.
No, I think it was with Essence, and she was like, you know, I don't know if she said she regrets it, but she just said she doesn't really like black women beefing like this.
Maybe that's how she felt.
This is how she felt.
She blacked out, and then she came to, like, you know what? I don't really want to be in the middle of this shit.
Listen, we don't need no battle rapper remorse. That's what killed Jay-Z. Well, take it easy. If you're going to shoot them shots. Don't shoot the shots and be like, you know what?
But in Remy's case, you know what I'm saying? She wasn't getting all this media attention.
Right.
She wasn't a media darling and all that shit. And now everywhere she go, all they asking about is Nikki.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm sure... Yeah, she ain't the one. She obviously Remy don't. She don't pull no punches. She don't fake the funk.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? She honest about who she is and what she do. So she probably like, man, I ain't really with all this shit with y'all.
I don't
talking
like
about.
That. If you gonna put a battle rap out, you got to stand behind it.
You like my man in Belly with the banana? I don't like that shit.
Nah, I ain't even that nigga. I'm just saying. Because when you put a battle record out and the shit is scathing, right? And it's raw.
She did it.
And it's raw. And the people get behind it. People are like, yeah, that shit raw. And then you double back and be like, you know what? That was a little too raw. Now you made all the motherfuckers that jumped out like, I liked it. Now they got to question what they like. Now they like too much raw. Now they like to see black women fighting. I just like hip-hop battles. I didn't look at it like, uh-oh, let's see some black women fighting.
But it kind of turned into that.
It was always going to be black women fighting from the door. It was black women. That's black guys fighting when they battle.
Probably, you know what probably hurt her the most is probably that fan talk, you know what I'm saying, on the Instagram. You know what I'm saying? They coming at her neck. She can't even live her social media life no more.
Can't have it
without
both ways.
Without them damn barbs at her motherfucking neck saying, oh, more scathing shit than the actual rapper said.
Right. You can't go to war and get upset when you get shot at.
I don't think she was upset. I just think she didn't want to be a part of
it. She didn't know what she was a part of.
Right. She ain't, you know what I'm saying? She ain't had to ever live that social media scathe.
It's a different type of thing.
That drag every day. Niggas in your comments.
She was in prison, dog. A social media dragon shouldn't be that bad. I mean, it's fucked up, but motherfuckers is getting shanked in jail.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? She probably used to going to her fucking social media like, la-da-dee, la-da-da. Oh, there go my fans. Hey, y'all, how y'all doing? I'm about to drop this record. Now that shit is the motherfucking barbs in her shit. L. Fucking with the queen, L. You know what I'm saying? There's a thousand comments of bullshit before you get to your real fans.
You got one fan that's like, yo, I still fuck with you.
You know what I'm saying? She probably like, man, call these dogs. Oh,
man.
Shit.
That's a different world, man.
You know what I mean?
But anyway.
You ain't. I mean, you fuck around. You used to going to your Instagram. Okay, you get your...
No, you get hate. The hate's going to hurt you.
Right.
But the thing is, if you go out there and you shit on somebody with a following, don't be surprised when that ass motherfuckers come bombarding you. Man, yo, these Instagram comments are the funniest, man.
Man, I'm used to going to my gram and, you know, having 10 likes and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Supportive motherfuckers.
40 likes, you know. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. My shit get 200 likes, nigga. I'm platinum. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? All the comments are complimentary. You know, hey, that was dope, blah, blah, blah.
Encouraging ass.
You know what I'm saying? I go out there and, you know what I'm saying, get a beef with a motherfucker with an Army Navy on the social media. Like, now my whole, I can't even open my phone no more. I'm going to just leave the phone down, man. I'm going to just post and not even look.
Because
these motherfuckers here.
They are killing me.
Fucking up my life on my social
shit,
media.
Man. I'm dead virtually. You know what I'm saying?
But shit, man.
Woohoo!
I'm excited, man, about this summer, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, all my me and my wife date night shows coming back, man, hard this summer.
What's the date night shows? So what you got?
We got Power coming back in June.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? We got Game of Thrones, July 16th. You know what I'm saying? So Mr. Muhammad's Game of Thrones reporter be back.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
People like that.
You know what I mean? And then Insecure come July 23rd.
All right.
So... You know what I'm saying? My wife excited. You know what I'm saying? As her granddaddy told me when we first got together,
yeah,
her granddad, he was, you know, 90 years old. Mm-hmm. He's like, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, that's what they
say.
You
know what I'm saying? So she excited, but that means it's going to be good summer. You know what I'm saying? That's a good summer if she excited. So I'm excited about that shit.
That's what's up.
You know
that's
what I'm saying?
Good.
Get
that's
all
good.
That out the way.
Good programming for you.
I thought Game of Thrones, I saw the trailer for Game of Thrones. I was disappointed because I thought they dropped in April and they were like July. And I was
They said it before the last season was up that the new season wasn't going to drop to the summer because the winter has come. So they wanted to shoot all winter. So they had to push it back so they could shoot during the winter.
Yeah. I'm ready for fucking Fargo to come back. When is that coming back? Chris, let me get a
look. Because
that's my shit.
What's Fargo?
Fargo is good as hell. Fargo is a series based on the movie Fargo by the Coen brothers, which is a great movie to watch, but you don't need to watch Fargo, the movie, to appreciate Fargo, the TV show. But that shit is fire. The first season, Billy Bob Thornton is in it, and he destroys that shit. And then the second season is more of a like an ensemble. You got Kirsten Dunst. You got my man Mekhi Phifer. No, not my part of me, not Mekhi Phifer. What's my man's name from Strapped? What's my man?
Bokeem Woodbine.
Mm-hmm. My man, I don't think his name is Jeremy Clemens, I think. The cat that looked like a low budget Matt Damon. He was on Breaking Bad. He played my man on Breaking Bad. He played Todd on Breaking Bad. He was on Friday Night Lights. He's beast in there. Like, it's worth watching. It's a great fucking show. And when is it coming back, Chris? Let me know.
April 19th.
April 19th. Yeah, I'm fucking with that.
Okay.
Good to have a show. Good to have. I don't commit to too many shows because it's a lot of shit. I try to.
Yeah, that's too much shit, bro.
You know.
You got to find your ones. And
find them and keep going.
No doubt.
Anyway, I feel like this might be the end of this show. Unless y'all got some more shit y'all want to talk about.
Man, you ended it already.
It ain't ended yet.
You said it's the end.
It might be.
I think it's the end.
Is this
unless
the end?
Y'all motherfuckers want to talk about some more. We good, man. I have fun with y'all today.
It was good, man. We came through the snow.
We came all the way out, through the snow.
Just to deliver a product to the people that have been listening.
You know what I'm saying? Make sure we didn't miss a week at all.
You know what I mean? We try to deliver this product to you every Wednesday. I really hope y'all appreciate it, man. We really, you know, we appreciate y'all listening and we try to deliver. We come through, you know what I mean? Because we depend on them ears.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? And tell some more ears.
Tell them ears.
You know what I mean? Shit.
Keep your ears flapping.
You know, Vlad, tell these ears where you going to be.
So Vlad will be at Improv River Center in San Antonio starting this Thursday through Sunday.
Oh,
I'm out there
shit.
Doing, six shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be there. So I'll get there Thursday through Sunday. If you're in Texas, San Antonio area, come on out.
All right.
Eric.
Muhammad, where you at?
Muhammad ain't really nowhere but Brooklyn, man. I'm in the motherfucking lab, man. We in here creating shit and making proposals and shit.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? It's a slight possibility I might be in the A.
Uh-oh.
You know what I'm saying? But we waiting on the word.
That's what's up.
You know what I'm saying? But right now, we home base kicking it.
In the city.
In the motherfucking lab. Creating, cooking up, crack.
There you go. Shit.
Not crack, but crack-ish. Product.
There you go. I'm going to be in, as I said before, I'm going to be in D.C. this weekend at the Comedy Draft House Thursday through Saturday. Y'all need to come through. We're going to have a good fucking time. What up, Joe? Go get some Mambo sauce and some Madness and some slouch socks and some New Balance and whatever other fucking D.C. shit I remember. D.C., let's do it. Come out 202. And if there's another area code that I can't think of off the top of the head, all of y'all motherfuckers come out. We're going to have a good time. We're going to be talking shit. We're going to have fun.
Even President Cheeto.
Yeah, President Cheeto, you are not welcome. But fuck it, if you want to spend some money.
He ain't welcome. He can't come.
Nah, come on, Cheeto.
Cheeto can spend money with
Cheeto. Come on through. Cheeto in sessions. You know what I mean? Come on through. The whole squad. Kellyanne, come through. Cop a squat on whatever type of seating situation we got. And we're going to laugh. We might talk shit about you. But we're going to have a good fucking time. Go get them tickets right now. I want to see the people in the building. If you a listener, I want you to come up to me, give me a pound, and say, yo.
I be in a motherfucking conversation. And I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you another thing, D. I'll tell you another thing. I'm going to tell you to your face.
I'm going to tell you to your
dead ass.
Dead, motherfucker.
I tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even a motherfucking enemy.
To get in the conversation.
For sure.
And I say peace. Because we out.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. And find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
We out.